CliffCentral.com.
You like my whistling? I realized I whistle like my grandfather used to whistle. He used to whistle whenever he was walking around, or he'd whistle songs, and now I'm the same. I'm like one of those old fucking men who whistle songs to themselves when no one's looking and no one's around. It's ridiculous. I'm embarrassed, but what can I tell you? Life is a process of self-discovery, and I'm discovering I'm an old fuck.
Oh, Cecilia.
Oh, Cecilia, the only one with any compassion.
Ooh, that's a tough realization.
Yeah. Hey, guys, can I ask you right up front, because this is important. I just got an email. I think it might be from SARS.
SARS?
Well, it says SARS e-filing, no reply. And then it says, the SARS want to pay me 649,000 Rand.
Ooh.
But then when I check the email, it says it's from TXAUDIT, TXAudit at MNP.co.za. So I think it's definitely for real, and I'm going to get 600,000 Rand from SARS. Don't you?
You know what? SARS actually owe me over 250,000 Rand.
Lucky you. Are you going to get it?
They are making every excuse in the world.
A quarter of a million rand.
Yeah, I know. It would be nice, huh?
Yeah.
If you got would, that. Would really would, help.
Would clean up my bank accounts, that's for sure.
It would help. But you know what? If you don't pay them, guess what happens? They just take the money out of your accounts. I reckon we should be able to do the same to SARS. If they owe us money legitimately, we should just be able to go into their account and just take the money.
Yeah.
I don't see how that's
fair. In an ideal world.
I don't see how it's fair. I mean, anyway, so I'm going to delete that email, all right? Everybody agree?
Yeah, I think you don't count your chickens. Don't go spending it before you've even got it.
Yeah, that would be a bad move, right?
Yeah. Just at least, yeah.
At least.
At least.
I love at least. All right, so, we better be careful, because now apparently if you have impersonated a black comedian and you're white...
You are a racist.
And apparently if you're a white comedian, a black comedian, you've impersonated white people, you are a racist. So in other words, all of us, for putting on our Branston girl voices, all of us should go to jail.
What would happen to acting and theater
and comedy and laughter and fun? I want to play you two clips just now that were recorded at a high school here in Pretoria of these girls being performative. That's what's happened to acting, has moved onto college campuses and schools. And I'll explain what I mean in a second. But you know Aunt Jemima syrup in America? It's this famous maple syrup that people put on their waffles and hot dogs and whatever else they put it on in America. Because they eat, they put syrup on everything.
Mm.
And Aunt Jemima is this black woman who's on the bottle, right? There's some story about it. Anyway, Aunt Jemima is apparently now so racist that they've just shut down the whole brand. It doesn't exist anymore. As from tomorrow...
She's racist. Oh, it's racist of them to use Aunt Jemima.
To use Aunt Jemima. So Aunt Jemima's disappeared. She's no longer... Aunt Jemima is finished! Oh, shit, I just did a black accent.
Oh, no. And what about the Omar on our Omar Rusk's boxes?
Oh, well, that's also...
Is she gone?
Well, look, she's an old white woman, so no one cares really as much.
I actually think she is gone. I don't remember seeing her on a box in a while.
But they have changed it to Omar. You also get Omar. You get Grandma. They've changed Gogo. If you look at the box, it's
all inclusive
now. To be more inclusive. I mean, that's a brand name, Omar Rusks. I'm not thinking of me and my grandmother when I buy fucking Rusks. What's wrong with people?
Well, you know, with Aunt Jemima, they say it is. It has these racial stereotypes, whole company isn't being wiped out, but they're just changing the name as well with the logo. I don't know. There's a certain wave, because even with Lady Antebellum,
the band, the music group,
I'm not being horrible.
They had that one hit song. What was it again?
I was about to say, yeah. Apart from that one song, it's a quarter after nine. I need you now.
What a stupid band. Yeah, what did they do?
Apart from that song, I don't really know them, but so maybe I might not.
Apparently, they didn't know.
About them?
They didn't know that their name means before the war.
Mm-hmm.
It's like antediluvian.
Well, neither did I.
Antediluvian means before the flood.
Okay. So now they've rebranded as well.
Antebellum means when you talk about the antebellum South, you're talking about the southern states of America before the war.
So now they're just Lady A.
Well, I hope they changed Aunt Jemima to Grandma Crunt, because that's definitely a brand I could buy. But you know what this is, right? I mean, you know what this is. This is the weakest thing humans have ever done. Like, if you genuinely wanted to fight racism, you would go into neighborhoods where there are problems, and you would teach the children. You'd get your hands dirty. You would go and fight actual racists like my grandparents did. Both of my grandfathers got into fucking uniform and went and fought Hitler. But you know what? It's so much easier to fight things that can't fight back, like a syrup bottle or a statue. You fucking weaklings. You are the most pathetic generation of activists, slacktivists that have ever lived. If you think fighting a statue or a bottle of syrup is some kind of moral victory, when those
softivism. Softivism.
It's just so bad. It is such piss poor attempt at gaining yourself some points. You make me sick. You know, and frankly, it is all performative. Listen to these girls at Pretoria Girls High, which is, you know, a school that's been known for, you know, a lot of noise and nonsense. They had that issue of the girls with their hair and, you know, black hair and, you know, are the girls allowed to have their hairstyles and afros or whatever else they want and tease it out and whatever they wanted to do. And, of course, it was a big story once. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So now the girls at that same school, obviously not the same girls because this is a few years later, but they are all getting on with it and studying and doing their thing. And then as soon as the cameras come to school, this is what happens. Just listen to this, okay? Listen to this.
I can't breathe! I can't breathe! I can't breathe!
We can't breathe! Do me a favor. You're at Girls High. You're at one of the most prestigious schools in the whole country.
In the world.
It costs your parents an arm and a leg to be there. And you're spending your day demanding that the teachers kneel. You fucking losers. Again, performative. It's all attention-seeking mental disorders that have gone awry. Listen to this girl. This one, before the cameras came on, she was perfectly calm and cool. Listen to what she does as soon as the cameras go on, right? Because their news reporter's there.
They want
trans rights and queer bodies to be represented. They've got a whole list of demands, these girls. When they're real, their only demands should be, please help me to pass science and math so that I can get a job one day. It's so dumb. It's dumb, dumb, dumb. And I hate doing this first thing on a Friday, but I got these clips yesterday. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
So yeah. Here, just if we're going there, let's talk about it. I got added into a group with a logo I haven't seen in years.
Oh, yeah?
And it's the logo of my former high school. That was the first sign for me to go, what's going on here?
Oh, God.
And then the group was named Bond of Brothers.
Uh-oh.
I'm like, I went in there, I did my own thing, I sashayed through the corridors, learned what I had to go, and
but weren't
got
you like
out of
you
school.
Were mayor of like junior mayor of Durban or something? So
you I mean,
were,
you know,
yeah, you were a big, you were an achiever.
But then I see the numbers in this group just go up and up and up and up, and went up to almost 300 people.
Yeah,
and I forgot. I was like, how many people are even allowed in a WhatsApp group? Long story short, the WhatsApp group ended up being all of these former black boys who have gone to my high school. And the messages around that were, you know what, you know, we as the black boys who went to this high school want to transform the school and diversify.
But are these guys who've left school already.
Yes.
I mean,
and I thought, guys,
God, this, no. is like those people who do well in rugby and matric, and then they end up being the sports coach because they can't leave school alone.
Like, just move past it. I am not saying there isn't change to be made, or, you know, their intentions aren't pure. But it took me a couple of days, you know, because Leanne, you'll understand.
So what do they want? Do they want to be allowed back into school so that they can experience it differently?
They've created Google documents, and we should all type in our experiences.
Send them all back to school if they loved it so much or they hated it so much. Let them go back and try again.
No, it's so awkward because I've spoken about it and not know people listening.
You know what? Let me tell you, here's the big dirty secret: is that very few people enjoy school because kids are mean to each other, and even if you're the popular kid, secretly you sometimes go home and you're really sad because you didn't think you were as popular. You thought you were more popular than you were, or something embarrassing happened. You shat your pants, or something happened. This is what school is. So I don't know where it comes from, this idea that everybody's going to be nice to you your whole life long. Where does this – and racism is disgusting. That's not a question of people being nice to you or not. And obviously there is no one on earth except for a few neo-Nazis stuck away somewhere. And they really are stuck away somewhere. You have to search high and low to find those neo-Nazis these days. Who else is out there looking for a reason to be racist? And all of these people who are fighting statues and schools, these are such soft targets. Please, can we stop? I know I hated high school because even though I was neither a jock nor a nerd, I kind of got along with everybody. And I didn't enjoy the fact that we had to do certain things, like, you know, we had physical training and we had all kinds of dumb subjects that I didn't have time for, Afrikaans. But this idea that you need to be an activist at the age of 14 and 15 is just ludicrous, and people have got to grow up.
And this is what I'll further this is what I'm currently caught on, though. And yes, it took me a couple of days, but I eventually just, like, left the group. I've never felt more liberated. I'm like, yes, you will see.
Welcome. Yeah.
But pick your battles in life, man. I think there are bigger fish to fry. And when everyone started listing, and then one day I was called out for, and then, you know, when for me, that is not going to solve anything. I'm not saying you didn't feel bad on a particular day. And biases will always exist, though. And I think that's what a lot of people are now feeling, because one day there was once this instance. Yes, racial biases will always exist. Yes, the same
it's
way.
Like, Sia, you had the trifecta in effect, because you also, I don't know when you came out, but like being gay at high school couldn't have been easy.
Oh, I had a great time.
No, but what I mean is people are not, they're not, the default setting of humanity is not to be understanding. But I know you don't give a shit, and it's one of the reasons that you are the success that you are today, because you don't actually care if people appreciate you or accept you or not. You're happy being you, which is, I mean, listen, that's something some people in their 40s and 50s.
Yeah, if we can get just that right, then we're getting somewhere.
But then you also, so you, if you wanted to climb on the victim cross, you could be, you could say, I'm black, I'm gay. You could say, I'm a pastor's son. I mean, you could say a lot of things, like, you know?
I thought about that because this was still, I was called into management's office in high school. And I was given this rundown before my matric dance of, like, you know, this is a school of tradition, right?
And you're not they wouldn't let you bring a boy.
Yeah. And I think back to it now, I'm like, actually, what it was a bit screwed up, but let's just move on. But
are you telling me it didn't wound you for life? That you couldn't take a boy to your matric dance? Did that not break your heart, Sia? You're not going to write books about it for the rest of your life?
You wait if a publisher gives me enough money. Everybody has a price.
Jesus, if I showed you any pictures of me from matric, I'd be so embarrassed. Not because I felt I looked like such a turd the whole way through high school. I've never seen a picture of me in high school that I thought that is a turd.
But you're just being realistic.
Yeah.
I'm a turd. Did you get tall early? Were you one of those guys?
I was gangly. I had bad skin. My hair was fucking terrible. I had the most terrible hairstyle you've ever seen in your life.
Oh, no.
Oh, it was bad.
It was before frosted tips, right?
I'm surprised. Wow. No, it wasn't even frosted tips. It was like, it was gelled. It was just bad. It was fucking bad. If I was lucky
but
that
you
girls
can blame,
even, I was lucky
you can
girls
blame
even
the 80s
spoke
and 90s
to me.
For that.
Yeah, but part of it was me too. I thought it was cool. You know, you don't know what cool is when you're at high school. You think you're cool, but you have no idea.
Yeah, 6'2"
girls even
with a bad haircut.
Jesus, Mbulelo, you have no idea. You wouldn't have even spoken to me during break if you see me wandering around in a circle.
Oh.
That girls even condescended to talk to me was a miracle. A miracle. Hot girls. I used to have to be extra funny. I used to have to learn how to be funny and charming and interesting. I took interest in shit that these days it embarrasses me. Like, I would listen to girls recite their poems just so they would have me near them.
Please let me, please let me come and talk to you.
Yes, Quasimodo, come here. It's all right. You can come up to Esmeralda.
Oh, my God. Fuck.
What a nightmare.
Oh, no.
Oh, I hated school.
Look, my bottom line is let's just all check ourselves. And if we say we're actually making change, can it be something constructive, not just a hashtag and
please,
posting?
Yeah. If you're going to fight anyone, make sure that it's an enemy who's actually alive and matches you in strength, because then your victory is worth something. Really.
That is very philosophical.
Go and fight someone who matches you in strength and win on moral, ethical, intellectual, and spiritual grounds. And then I will not only respect you, I will declare you a victor to everyone else I meet. But if you beat Aunt Jemima on the syrup bottle, you haven't won a damn thing. You're tilting at windmills like Don Quixote. It's fucking embarrassing. Really.
Oh, you mean Don Quixote.
Quixote. Yes, that one.
Am I allowed to do that?
I don't know, because now someone might interpret that you're actually mocking Xhosa, even though you can speak it really well. Yeah. It's just this, and you know what it all comes from? This isn't, by the way, this is not black people who complain about Aunt Jemima, huh? This is the most interesting thing about it. You know who it was who complained about Aunt Jemima?
Let me take a guess.
Go on.
A rich, white, 28-year-old academic at Harvard.
Karen. Karen complained about it because Karen is looking for automatic immunity from the charge of racism. That's what she's looking for. And I want you to break that down for a second, because there is nothing more weaselly than someone who's looking for an automatic immunity from something. It's like in Survivor, you know that immunity idol that they give?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if they didn't make you do a challenge to get it, it would ruin the whole game. Because if you automatically get it just for being you, or for protesting something that doesn't exist, or for complaining about something that does exist, but that has nothing to do with you, so people can see that you're a faker, the game falls apart. These Karens, and it's rich white college students in America who are complaining, not necessarily 28, but in their 20s usually. And they are the ones who've decided Aunt Jemima has to go because, and then they go up to black people. This is the most, if this isn't racism, I don't know what is. They go up to black people and they say, you should be upset about Aunt Jemima. And black people are like, I don't care about Aunt Jemima. If I want syrup on my waffles, I'm going to use whatever's on the shelf. And maybe I do care about Aunt Jemima, but it's none of your business. And don't you get offended on my behalf. You know, how patronizing it is for someone who says that they're fighting racism to not even ask the person whose race they're supposedly defending. And they never ask.
Yeah. Pathologically, there's something even more insidious going on there. Is that... not only was the racism against black people, let's say in this instance, only us white people can figure out how to get you out of the racism.
Exactly.
So it's really, really insidious.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
You got to be very, very careful when you go down that route.
So yeah. That is something that, that really gets me ticked off. It's like...
acknowledging the power in black people that black people have themselves.
Agency. It's a word called agency.
Yeah.
Like, I remember a couple of years ago, Vogue magazine had done something and they were being dragged in a race storm. Mm. At first they had started doing this, I think they were doing like a diversity cover or what you have it, because, you know, Vogue is always on the cutting edge and they're so progressive. 2 seconds later, they were doing a behind the scenes shoot of their different staff members, and one of their staff members, and I don't know her name, but she's big famous redhead. She was sitting at her kitchen counter and they took a photo of her, and she had those stereotypical mammy blackface statuettes on her kitchen counter,
like Hattie McDaniel in Gone with the Wind, and it was a stereotype. Yeah,
so I thought, okay, well, Miss Progressive, you are able to say, aren't we so perfect and fabulous, but literally on your kitchen counter every single day, this is what you walk past. What are you exactly trying to say? Let's just all simmer down.
I'm going to tell you that Malcolm X warned us about this years ago. And for those people who don't bother again to study history, you're missing out, because a lot of these things that you think you've just stumbled upon and you're so progressive have already been discussed for 40, 50 years. Malcolm X said in an interview some time ago, the biggest threat to black people and their independence and their ability to think of themselves as sovereign individuals is the white liberal. And he said, in no uncertain terms, I'll see if I can find you the clip, because it's just bloody brilliant.
It is.
You've seen the clip, right? You know what I'm talking about.
Of course.
He says, the biggest problem is these white liberals, because what they want to do is that by grouping black people as black people, for example, and saying, you blacks X, Y, and Z, or letting black people only glom onto each other when it comes to their grievances, what they do is they keep themselves busy fighting those supposed grievances, and they don't actually improve their lives. So it's almost like a kind of psychological warfare. And Malcolm X said, if black people stop with the grievance politics and they actually focus their time and energy, like those white people who say they're constantly allied with them but really are just paying lip service, then they can get to where those white people are and they don't have to worry about the white people or how black they are and how much misery they put up with every day. They can get on with their lives and make something of their lives. And that's an interesting idea, because when you think about it, there's probably a purity of spirit coming from, I mean, I don't think that those white liberal people who we're talking about in such a derogatory manner this morning, I don't think they have a bad intention. I think they genuinely think they're doing good. They think they're virtuous people, but they don't realize how much harm they're doing. It's like a parent who's overprotective of their children.
Yeah.
And their kids grow up being these shitheads who no one wants to be around because they've
been
spoiled.
Or they always get sick because they haven't been eating sand.
Right, exactly. Those are the pair. And it's interesting, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and being trapped in your house and not exposing yourself to the elements or to other people or to the occasional germ is in the long run much worse for your immune system. And similarly, racism thrives where it's mollycoddled and where people are cotton-wooled and separated from each other to the extent that nothing offensive can enter your universe, so that by the time something does, in your 30s maybe, when you're in the workplace, it just destroys you because you have no way of dealing with it. And I think that is deeply – you want to talk about racism? That, to me, is a much bigger threat to competent, brilliant black people who are trying to get to something than the grievance politics that white people have created for them to dwell in. It's very sad. Very sad. And I hear these girls at high school doing this. I'm like, you girls, it's not a one-act play. This is your life. This is what you're going to be known for a long time, maybe forever. Yeah. You're going to be that girl who is screaming like a banshee about stuff that actually wasn't there, when there are real issues that are going to confront you in your life and no one's going to take you seriously anymore. Like, where are the parents? Where are the mental health practitioners? Sit these people down and say to them, hey, listen, all right, high school's tough. We're going to help you deal with this. And you're going to deal with it on an individual basis, because the things you're dealing with are your challenges to overcome. And there are people who care about you. The way to deal with it is by talking to the people who care about you, not screaming at the sky. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fuck, it makes me sad. Deep down inside, it's not that I'm angry with these girls. It's that I'm sad. I'm sad that we should have to deal with Aunt Jemima and statues instead of dealing with the real issue. And go and listen to Malcolm X. He knew it long before any of us. Ta-da! That's the start of the show this morning.
You go, girl.
You go, Glenn. Go, go.
Before we get to the news headlines.
I think I might have found the clip for you guys.
Oh, you got it. Yeah. Okay, let me just play this for you, because this is worth hearing, man. Shit. Listen to this. I love this. This guy, so ahead of his time.
In this video.
Oh, not that. That's a Karen. Sorry, hang on. Let me play this for you before we get to the headlines. And then we've got to talk about Leanne Moll's Rapunzel hair. Okay, here it is. Listen to Malcolm X, all right?
White liberals who have posed as our friends. White liberals who have been eager to point out what the white man in the South has been doing to us, while they themselves here in the North are doing the same thing. They have been making a great fuss over the South, only to blind us to what is happening here in the North. And now that the eyes of America's 20 million blacks can easily see that this white fox here in the North is even more cruel and vicious than the white wolf in the South. The Southern wolves always let you know where you stand. But these Northern foxes pose as white liberals. They pose as your friend, pose as your benefactor, pose as your employer. They pose as your landlord. They pose as the neighborhood merchant. They pose as your lawyer trying to help you. They infiltrate all your organizations. And in this manner, by joining you, they strangle your militant efforts toward freedom, toward justice, and toward equality.
How's that, huh?
Yeah, he was a different beast.
Yeah.
We haven't seen one like him ever, probably.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm surprised that a lot of people these days would probably decry him as being too moderate. But man, in his day, was he brave. Now, there's a guy who fought the system.
Oh, you know? God.
He fought the system. He had to go to jail a couple of times. So
he was different.
You didn't win anything with Aunt Jemima being taken off the syrup bottle.
It feels really insipid in retrospect, right?
So how long is your hair in this current context, Rapunzel?
How long
about
is a piece
Aunt Jemima?
Of string?
You look like Rapunzel. You've got your hair down to your titties.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's
you look like Queen Boudica.
It's long, but it just looks like shit.
Hey, are you going to go to the hairdresser this week?
I actually had a tentative appointment for tomorrow, but that's been moved out, so we'll see. But yeah, I've got quite a few friends in the salon industry, spa and hair salon industries, and everyone's fumbling around a bit at the moment because there still aren't very clear guidelines. So we'll have to see what happens.
Well,
and also, there are still people who are scared. Some are, there are going to be some women bashing down doors to get their roots done. But some people are still scared.
Well, Cabello just sent me a picture of Judge Judy smashing the desk like this, saying, it's time for the five things we need to know. Come on, let's get moving. So, all right, Cabello's in charge.
Yeah.
All right, Cabello, here it is. First headline for this morning. The Specialized Commercial Crimes Court has granted bail to the seven men arrested for allegedly looting 122 million rand from VBS Mutual Bank.
Is that all?
They've granted bail to them. Seven suspects appeared in court on Thursday on charges related. Bail was set at 100,000 rand for each applicant.
Mm.
But if you've stolen 122 million rand, 100,000 rand is nothing if you need to flee the country and go to Zimbabwe or something. Anyway, among those arrested, the former VBS chairperson and other board members, they stand accused of siphoning the millions of rands from the bank that are just a fraction of the 3 billion rand that went missing. Magistrate Brian Nemavidi denied the request from some of the accused for the bail to be reduced. The judge stated the 100,000 rand reflected the seriousness of the charges leveled against them. The matter's been postponed to 8 October. So keep an eye. It's a very interesting story that we need to watch carefully, because there, remember, there are a couple of 100,000 people whose pensions and whose life savings were stolen during that VBS. This is not some bank that lost money, some corporate, you know, balance sheet money. This is money that actually belonged to people who had taken it and invested it and saved it and deposited it at that bank, and it was just stolen. All right. A toddler. This is such a horrible story. I almost don't want to read stories like this on a Friday morning or on any day, frankly. A 3-year-old girl was stabbed to death and her body dumped in the veld, an orange farm.
What?
3-year-old. Police Commissioner Captain K. Makubele. Jeez, K. Makubele's been busy, hey? Almost every week we've had a story which involves K. Makubele. Yep. Said the police were called in the early hours of Thursday morning by a passerby who noticed a plastic bin in the open field. When police arrived, they found the body of a girl thought to be around the age of 3. She'd been stabbed. Police are investigating whether the child is the same girl who was reported missing by her mother on Wednesday in the same area. No arrests have been made. Police have asked the public for information they may have concerning the death of the child. Ugh.
It's horrible.
Transnet says petroleum products are stolen from the pipelines. Apparently 26 fuel theft incidents have taken place from April to date this year. Now, Transnet says over 2 million litres of petrol have been stolen from the pipelines. Do you know how dangerous that is? To steal petrol. First of all,
dangerous, but also the amount. What are you using? A truck?
Well, that's it. I mean, where do you put this petrol? And are people just filling up canisters? You know, you drill a hole in the pipe and then you wait for it to spray up like one of those oil geysers. And then you hold your tin underneath, your Castrol tin, and then you fill that up. And then what do you do? You use that to fill your car? I mean,
desperate times, eh?
2 million liters of petrol.
Inside job.
Definitely. Transnet have called on all stakeholders.
Stakeholders.
Involved in the petroleum value chain to join efforts in the fight against fuel theft from South Africa's valuable pipeline infrastructure. So we'll keep an eye on that too. But what a story, huh? Speaking of fuel, Sasol is now planning retrenchments. You know, Sasol's the latest company to announce planned retrenchments in the wake of COVID-19. They say that they've started consultations with workers on possible retrenchments as part of what will result in two core businesses. The announcement comes after the embattled retailer Edcon confirmed that it's served 22,000 employees with layoff notices. Sasol's been hit by cost overruns at the Lake Charles facility in the U.S. Crash in the oil price has also worsened matters. It's not yet known how many jobs will be on the line. But if you work at Sasol, you better make another plan just in case.
Yeah, the SABC as well announced yesterday that they're working on retrenchment plans.
I saw they've issued a notice of possible retrenchment to 600 employees. Well, they can start off with all those losers on their radio stations that are not making money. 600 employees could be facing job losses as the broadcaster works on what is called a target operating model. The affected employees will be invited to make recommendations going forward. They'd previously received a number of bailouts from government. In a statement last month, they admitted that COVID-19 has had an impact. Huh, you guys were a disaster long before COVID-19. Please. Bitch, please.
I had a nightmare the other night about the SABC, just getting back to that.
What?
It was so weird. Gareth, you and I were in a car together driving to do an OB, an outside broadcast or somewhere. I don't know. And we were stuck in traffic. It was still dark. We finally realized we were not going to make it, so we went back to the SABC.
Yeah.
And we hadn't been there in years, you know, like we actually haven't.
Yeah.
And I saw everyone that I knew from those days. I saw Reuben Goldberg. I saw everyone that we'd known for all those years. And everyone was in a big conference room. I decided to go outside, and I think you did too. For some reason, we went outside. And while we were outside, there was a massive explosion.
What?
Yeah. A massive explosion. And you could tell from it that nobody had survived.
Leanne.
I know. It was horrible.
So what's your dream saying?
But that, well, yeah, I'll tell you what it is.
Let me,
I've got a crystal ball here. I'll tell you what it means. When we left the SABC, we were the last warm bodies out.
Oh, Lord.
It's true. It's true. I wouldn't hire one of those people at the SABC.
Don't play that card.
Not one. I wouldn't hire one of them. I feel sorry for them. I mean,
people are trying to make a living.
They've been in sheltered employment for the last couple of years and genuinely aren't making any. I mean, if you're not making money in a business, then it's not a business.
Yeah.
That's what, also do you, true. What would you call it?
So it's a like a feeding scheme. The SABC is a feeding scheme. It's a soup kitchen.
I had their soup. It wasn't that good either.
You had the soup and their Kool-Aid.
Speaking of them, do you remember the apartheid manna at that,
yes,
at the coffee shop? So there was a coffee shop at the SABC, and there were these people who ran it. Shame, they were very sweet people. I mean, it's so cruel of us to call them the apartheid manna, but basically they were old white guys. And they used to sit there every morning and have their coffee together. And reminisce, obviously, because in my head, they were talking about the...
Obviously, yes.
In my head, they were like, do you remember how good it was in the 70s? But I don't know that they were...
They were like real Buddha men, so.
Yeah, they were nice people. The woman, what made me think that they were the, in inverted commas, apartheid people were... were things that they would do, like the woman who ran the shop would like go, Mari, when like
Rebecca, coffee.
Yeah, like, and Rebecca would come like out of the kitchen and she'd be like, oh, here it is, you know. And it was, to me, that
it was like a live soap opera.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
A Seven Delon.
Yeah, it was better than Seven Delon.
Yeah.
Hey, is Tito Mboweni trolling Nkosi Sanatlamini Zuma? Did you see his tweet?
No.
Tito Mboweni took out a watch, one of those fob watches. You know those ones that you would tuck into your waistcoat if you were a gentleman in the 1800s? It's like on a chain.
Mm-hmm.
You know the kind of watch I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he took a picture of this. It's obviously something he's got. And he said, on a lighter note, this watch is called a Zombo, I think. Not a Zolo, which when you Zol, you put saliva on the paper.
He's the best.
So do you think he's trolling her?
Why not?
Low-key trolling?
He's the best.
He is. Oh. He is. He's smart, that guy. I have a lot of time for Tito Mboweni. Where shall we go this morning? We have so many things to talk about. I do want to talk. Hey, Mbulelo, give your sports show a plug, because you're working hard on that in the background, and I got some great feedback yesterday from Duncan. He says he's loving the show. So people are writing lots of complimentary emails to me about your sports show. Nice work.
That's awesome. It's been a great first week. We had Professor Ross Tucker on last night, and we discussed doping in sport, and he's the leader worldwide making rules.
He's a famous guy.
Yeah. No, he's the guy. Like, when we talk about doping at the highest level and how we can stamp it out, he's the guy. When we talk about making rules for rugby, he's the guy. They come to him, World Rugby. So we had him on, we had James Dalton on. It's been a great first week. And so you can go to Cliff Central Sport on YouTube, and then across the board, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. And we've got a great week coming up next week.
Does that include the return of one of your colorful shirts? Because I miss those.
What happened to you? You used to dress up like in Nigerian and West African outfits every Friday, and then you suddenly stopped. I think we teased you.
No, but it wasn't like just a Nigerian outfit, or just, it was like Jamaican with the Nigerian with the Ghanaian, with the South African.
You know what's so
with multicolored.
You know what's so cool about being confident enough to wear stuff like that is that you don't need to be announced in a room. You know, people kind of go, "Wow, there must be something about that guy." And I mean, we know Mbulelo's as boring as shit, but when he walks into a room with that on,
Well, Einstein said it: the bigger the show, the lower the IQ. So I got to put on a really big show.
Mbulelo, please wear a kaftan for next week. Just one.
No, it's too cold. Because the air blows up there and chills your balls right off.
Okay, these are colorful socks.
All right, a couple of messages. Good morning, guys. Have you seen the Tyrese Gibson reverse racism row? That's from Jay. Does anyone know what that is?
Now, firstly, why are we paying attention to Tyrese, who we haven't really taken seriously since the 90s? I mean, when he's done the Fast and Furious clips as well. Like,
Tyrese.
No one really.
I mean, the name Tyrese feels like he and Aunt Jemima should have gone into the sunset together.
I don't know what inspired him to start posting about South Africa in particular, but on his Instagram, he started posting the series of images of, let me speak about the one in particular. There were four scenes in one post. That included a white girl standing in front of shelves of only black Barbie dolls.
Oh, yeah.
And there was one image of a black man holding onto three enchained white men. So depicting that black people now own white slaves in South Africa. And his caption was along those lines of, well, the flip that is currently happening in South Africa. I literally think he is just a victim of some text group and someone just posted that and said, did you see what happened in South Africa? And he thought, this is horrible, and decided to post it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, there were like a whole band of South Africans who started commenting on his photo saying, this is nonsense.
Ugh. All right. Well, I'm sorry I even found out about
that's
that. What a non-story. Brendan says, morning, guys. I bruised my rib yesterday, and all I can say is fuck sore. I think we must start realizing we are all the same. We're not that important. The universe is much bigger than us. We're a mere speck of dust, and I think none of us are relevant in this big universe.
You know, I was thinking about that just this morning, because Sia messaged me to check if I was awake, and I just replied with the word snooze. But I got really dramatic in my head. This happens to me sometimes. And I thought, you know, we can die of absolutely anything.
This is a thought you had at 5 a.m.
You could die from anything. You could die from a paper cut. It could progress that badly that you would die from a paper cut.
Well,
we're really fragile.
This is where we cue Mbulelo with a philosophy minute, because he's going to tell us now about nihilism, aren't you?
I was going to go. That is the most nihilistic thing I have ever heard.
Remind us.
Everything is nothing. The world is about power, and we mean nothing.
And we're all going to die, and that's unimportant.
Yeah. I'm sorry, party people. You guys can have that conversation alone. I've never thought that.
No, well.
But Leanne, the art of philosophy is to die with dignity, just so you know. So said Socrates.
So ought even if you did die
with fabulousness.
Yes, no, Sia looks at the cup half full. I've never had those doomy, gloomy moments like you have, Leanne, where you're like, oh, it's all pointless. Oh, we're all going to die. Because I don't know how I'd come back from that. I've never had to deal with that shit in my head. It just doesn't occur to me. Yeah, I must be stupid.
It is what it is.
I must be stupid.
There's so much to do.
No, why even think like that?
Hey, stars are going to give me 600,000 rand, according to that email. So I'm ready to live.
You are fabulous and special. Out of the millions of combinations between the sperm cells and that one random sperm cell hit that egg and you came, it could have been someone else, but it's you, and it's you for a reason. So, I mean, live, man. Damn it.
I have those moments too.
I like Sia's attitude.
Oh, that's all right. So give me downer sometimes.
Oh, God. All right.
Whose message was that? Brendan?
Yeah, Brendan, yeah. Listen to this. This is an interesting one from Bulelo, from Clint. He says, your opinion on crowd sound simulation on the EPL. How are they doing it? Someone dubbing a FIFA match over a loudspeaker? How does that work?
No, they feed in the sound effects. There's somebody who's there, so they play like cheering, booing. You've got to have somebody kind of filtering it in. So that's a production tool. And I think it's great. Because
that is so sad.
It's almost like bed music, you know.
They do that in, in sitcoms.
Exactly.
People are so dumb that they need to know it's okay to laugh, so they put other people laughing in the track, so that you go, "Oh, okay, I can laugh here." Because there are people who are dumb enough to not know what's funny.
Why don't they set up at least like 50 people on a Zoom call? Who get to watch, and I don't know, maybe, you know.
No, they've done that. Please, they've done that as well.
Imagine the feedback and the people whose children start crying in the background during a quiet moment. Right. Please.
No, so what they've got is people on Zoom on massive screens behind the goals, it's like watching live. That's one of their little tricks. But for TV, it works well. It's like bed music. It's, you know, watching the EPL, a huge part of it is the chanting. British football, the chants are unbelievable. So they like filter that in as well. So
I just thought of something really important. Sia, you got that clip I sent you yesterday, right? I got to play you Cardi B, people.
Of our dearest Cardi.
Sorry to interrupt this this conversation over sports, Mbulelo, but you know my sports attention span is about three seconds.
I know it kills you to stop sport, Gav.
All right, here's Cardi B. Talking to you bitches who have a problem with how she's gained weight. All right, are you ready? Listen to this.
So, I have to do this video because I'm seeing that y'all putting this edited Target picture of me looking like a motherfucking square. So, you know what I'm saying? I have to do this video because yesterday I posted a picture too spicy and the haters claimed that I was photoshopping it. So, now I gotta show y'all this motherfucking body. Now, I know a bitch gained some weight, you know what I'm saying? Because I have to make the thighs match the motherfucking ass. You know what I'm talking about? But I know you bitches ain't talking when y'all shaped like seals. And I know you niggas ain't talking when y'all got sisters with bison backs and y'all mothers is shaped like walruses. You know what I'm saying? I know y'all ain't body shaming me. Now I know I gained a little weight. Hold on, I'm actually holding it in because I ate breakfast, lunch, and I ate some ice cream. Hold on. Woo! Back at it again. I'm back at it again. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter though. A bitch got life for money. I got life for money.
She says she's got lipo money. And she says, don't you go body shaming me when your sisters have bison backs and your mothers look like walruses.
Correction. Walruses.
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 And then I'd also like to state at this point that I'm a human being, so I'm entitled to change my mind and my opinion. As of yesterday's show, I did not like Twitter voice notes. But up until Cardi B got onto Twitter voice notes.
I'm a fan.
Now I like them.
Me too. I love her.
There were two in particular. I've just sent them to you, Gareth, as well. There was one, she just woke up. And so she just recorded something completely random. And then another, she was singing a Sam Smith song. I like Twitter voice notes now.
Guess what, bitch?
She is like if the coronavirus were a human.
Yes.
Oh, my God. All right. Okay, let's... someone says here, you know what? You people have no idea of what real pain is. This is from Neil. He says, you don't have to be a racist at high school, but it is tough being a ginger.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole new... Whoa.
Well, then you don't have a soul. I mean, imagine
Yeah,
that.
Exactly.
Hey, speaking of gingers, I spoke to our very good friend C.S. du Plessis yesterday.
Oh, yeah, how is he?
Not yesterday, the day before.
Did I tell you I bumped into him at like the Kauai at New Road one day?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very briefly. He was buying like a wrap and I was buying a juice or something. And I was like,
You know, he's got his own coffee brand now.
Well, it's about bloody time. He used to be the big coffee guy until Mbulelo came around. Yeah.
So I'm actually going to be working with him on it,
which
is really cool.
Oh, hello.
He's like taken back the whole ginger vibe by calling his brand Ginger Fox, which I love.
Wow, that's cool. Ginger Fox, that's a nice name for a coffee.
Yeah.
All right.
I can't wait to try that coffee.
Yeah, you'll like it. You and he are like two peas in a pod with this coffee.
Yeah,
obsession.
Absolutely.
Oh, nice one.
Two peas in a coffee pod.
Would never drink a pod if I had a choice.
No, Mbulelo brings a secret stash of that.
Here we go.
Ground coffee, you know, the stuff that's sealed in those bags that you can never open.
Mm-hmm. That you can never open without making a mess.
Yeah, half the coffee spills on the ground. I think that's part of like the religious ritual that Mbulelo goes through every morning.
Breaking news.
You know, like in India, they have a holy fest where they throw color dye in the air. It's part of the coffee ritual as well. You have to throw it all over the counter.
Yes.
So my Kenyan supplier is open. The good stuff is on its way.
Your Kenyan supplier. All right, listen to these Cardi B notes that Sia found. I love this. All right, so here's Cardi on Twitter. God, I love her. All right, take it away. Take it away, baby.
Hi, everybody. Hi. Oh, my God. What the fuck is this? I just woke up. I know it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh my God, what is this?
She wakes up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Wow.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. All right, here's another one. This is the Sam Smith song, right?
Tell me, how do you sleep when you hate on me? With all that hate and all that envy, I know that I'll be sleeping in your brain tonight. Tell me,
she says, how do you sleep when you're hating me? Because all that hate and all that envy, I'll be in your brain tonight. I love that. Good for you, Cardi.
She's crazy.
She's come a long way from those days on the pole.
You know.
Now that's inspiring.
Let's not hold it against her.
I don't hold anything against her. I've said from the start that I think she's one of the few honest people in the media right now, and a lot of people do hate her, and I mean, she is like a bit of a virus, but she's the kind of virus that's holding up a mirror to the rest of us. This is who you are, this is who you are, you son of a bitch. That's what she's telling us. All right. Oh, who wants a song, and what song do you want? God.
It's not like do we have to pick a theme tune?
Pick a theme tune, sing the theme tune.
I was listening, oh my word, how weird. I was listening to songs from my wedding album.
Ooh.
Oh, that's going to make you cry.
No,
I'm over it. I was over it the day I used my wedding album to kill a part-time prawn. I mean, that was my photo album, not my sound album.
So what, give me a song from your album.
Lone Star.
Oh my God, I remember that song.
Every time I rise,
Amazed.
Me.
Yeah, it's called Amazed.
Amazing.
Me.
It's like so Southern American.
I don't know how you do what you do.
Do.
I'm so in love with you. Yeah.
That's it.
That's the song. Jesus.
It's a good song.
It's a great song, but you had a wedding album.
Yes, I had a CD to give to the DJ with the songs on it.
Not a Spotify playlist, a wedding album.
So why did you hire a DJ?
Hold on, guys. Let's just backtrack.
Because you had to in
just hold
days.
On. Sia, a CD is a thing that shines. Some people hang them from their rearview mirrors.
They break them up and make mosaic decoupage.
It's not a decoration. It actually used to contain music. That's how we used to before you came along with MP3s and Apple Music and Spotify. We used to use these to listen to music. Do you know what it is?
And Mbulelo, why would we not have a DJ?
No, if you're going to give him a CD is my point. Like, no, if you're going to hire a DJ, let him do his thing.
He played other songs as well, and he also MC'd.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Mbulelo, it's a whole performance. It's a thing. I made money being a DJ like that.
And it was 2002.
I made money going to clubs and playing other people's songs.
Yeah, but that's different. You're a personality.
Yeah, well, was I? I don't
you
know.
Love it, and no.
You think drunk people care that I had a personality?
No, they don't.
No, they don't care. All right, let's get on with it. We've got things to do, people to see, places to go. It's a Friday morning, cliffcentral.com. Leanne watched the video that Bulelo made of Gord trying to tell the story. I say trying to tell the story of his mother at the convent school.
With orots and cross-eyed bears.
It's got to be one of the funniest things, and it's on social media. Go to the Gareth Cliff Show on Instagram and you'll see. It's just so funny. I mean, Gord actually asked me if he could take that clip and post it with, you know, our logo and everything, because we don't really like it when people cut up our audio. You know, rather go and listen to the whole podcast. But I said to him, you know what, it's all right, go and do it. And then he checked in with his mother last night. Did I give you an update?
No, you didn't.
I haven't told you about this yet, right?
No.
So he checked in with his mom last night, and he got the details in the story. He says, my mom's response when I asked her how little she was when it all happened, little gladly at Oakford Priory Boarding School. So she was a small little girl when she learnt about Gladly the cross-eyed bear. And she thought it was an actual bear that had cross eyes that lived in heaven that she was singing about, called Gladly. And then her mother was in standard 8. That's high school.
That's grade 10.
Grade 10.
At St. Catherine's, and Sister D'Souza and her diagrams of orots to 16-year-olds.
Orots being a misspelling of the word roots.
Yes.
As in adventitious or plant.
That's so good. That's outrageous. So good. Orots. I'm only going to call them orots from now on.
Another thing I was thinking about in bed this morning is how closely related the word orots is to carrots, and carrots are a root.
Wow, Leanne, the things that go through your mind when you wake up.
It doesn't stop, guys. It does not stop.
All right, well, we're going to talk a little bit about a new South African Netflix original film called 8 a little later with a guy called Garth Breitenbach. But we've got your messages, your calls, your thoughts, your ideas, whatever it is that you want to share with us on 0797482090. Let us know what's going down. Here's Leanne's wedding album song.
Cliffcentral.com.